Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT news highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number five, personal details of more than 1 million bank customers exposed. At number four, mid-level IT pay soars as offshoring grows. At number three, Internet Explorer 8 is compliant with web standards. At number two, Best Western hotel chain hacked. And in top spot, HP EDS deal completed, competition for Big Blue. And in that story, Hewlett-Packard, HP, has completed its $13.9 billion acquisition of Electronic Data Systems Corporation, EDS, creating a company that will provide hardware, software, services, and outsourcing to both private and public sector IT departments in competition with IBM. HP is looking to target the largest users of IT, both existing HP customers and non-HP customers, with a suite of products and services. And now for a look at some of the news analyses to be featured in the next edition of Computer Weekly magazine. Ian Grant reports that computer users face more software audits, increased software costs, and new license conditions. The Federation Against Software Theft, FAST, an anti-piracy group mainly made up of organizations that supply software, reported that audits among members were up 20% in a year. Ian, why are the software producers getting tougher on users?
Very simply, they want more money. They face a declining market. The financial services sector in particular has fallen off a cliff. Projects are being postponed, and as a result, many companies or software companies are losing money from new sales.
Now, considering enterprise software investments tend to be long-term, do increased support costs and changes to the license conditions mean that software suppliers have businesses over a barrel? And if so, is there anything they can do about it?
Not much in the short term, but they should all be looking at alternatives, particularly in the open software area. These days, there's a lot of very, very good software that either replicates functions that you find typically in Office or in Adobe. So on the desktop, there are plenty of options. When it comes to the enterprise systems, there's a little bit less choice, but that doesn't mean that there aren't readily available open source applications which do work and for which there is support and which are certainly viable alternatives.
Do you think open source has reached the point where it's now good enough for enterprise to look to it as a viable alternative?
I think they need to do their due diligence. They really need to check it out. I understand that there's lots of pressure and a lot of projects are being postponed, but certainly if there's any spare cash, if I was a CIO, that's where I'd be looking to spend some money.
Also featured in the next edition of Computer Weekly magazine, an article from me looking at the likely effects of several outsourcing suppliers grabbing the headlines in recent weeks and months for failing to look after client data. Most recently, a contractor working for the Home Office lost an unencrypted memory stick containing almost 130,000 personal records relating to criminals, and a data archiving company was exposed for lax data protection when an old server containing the banking details of over a million people was sold on eBay. These and other similar incidents where businesses were left exposed by a third-party supplier have highlighted potential risks that may lead organizations to reassess their outsourcing policy. It also suggests businesses need to go beyond the traditional approach of threatening suppliers with punitive actions if they fail to keep data safe. Cliff Saron writes that after 10 years, Google, which celebrates its birthday on the 7th of September, has conquered search and positioned itself as the most viable alternative to Microsoft's desktop software. Its Gmail web-based email service has the potential to take off among corporate users as an alternative to traditional outsourced email. IT directors have lapped up some of its products, such as the downloadable applets and Google's library of website components. But Cliff, what has been the response to the Google Apps business?
Google Apps is a great product, but I think people are not convinced it's ready for the enterprise yet. Home users are fine with it, But in the enterprise, there are issues like security, for instance. Is the data always going to be available? And these are things that big businesses worry about. And it's something that Google obviously needs to address.
So if there are these concerns, are Google Apps ever going to pose any real threat to suppliers like Microsoft?
Well, I've used Google Apps, and it's a good product for what it is. It's a very basic word processor, and they have a spreadsheet. They do, you know, presentations. I think for certain categories of user, for instance, people who don't need a fully fledged desktop, Google Apps may well be the way forward. And for the IT director, if you can migrate some of those users who you traditionally would have bought Microsoft licenses for, move them over to something lightweight like Google Apps, you'll inevitably save money. So yes, of course, it is not the same product as Microsoft, it can't do the same functionality, but for certain groups of users, it's ideal. And that, I think, is where we'll see it being used, as a lightweight version for specific types of user.
And Rebecca Thompson writes that the growth of outsourcing has led to a greater demand for mid-level IT staff. Companies are competing to employ talented staff who are capable of overseeing and managing teams, while lower-level development jobs are outsourced. Rebecca, what's the most obvious effect that outsourcing has had?
Well, one of the effects that's sort of come out recently is the fact that pay for mid-level IT staff, like project leaders and project managers, has jumped quite a large amount. In 5 years, project leaders have seen an increase of 18% in their pay, and project managers have had an increase of 12%. So that's sort of one quite big result of outsourcing.
That's good news for them, but what problems does this cause for CIOs?
Well, there's problems for CIOs and IT directors for two reasons. One is the fact that as all the lower level jobs are outsourced, it means that there are fewer people coming up through the ranks. There's less competition for these mid-level jobs, and that's putting up pay, because the people who do have the experience required can demand higher salaries. The other problem for IT directors is a lack of graduates. This offshoring has meant that graduates think of IT as an area that doesn't really have very many jobs available because so many entry-level jobs have gone offshore. So that could be one factor that's putting graduates off. It's definitely shown in the number of graduates over the last 5 years. It's dropped by nearly 50% since 2001. So there are fewer people going into IT, and that's sort of exacerbating the problems.
And what's the potential solution to this problem?
Well, most people seem to think that the IT industry really needs a bit better PR. It really needs a lot more people to see it as an opportunity. Not really many people have suggested bringing these offshore jobs back onshore. I don't think people are sort of seeing that as an answer at the moment, but they do say that it just needs a lot more people, especially young graduates, to get on at a low level and then sort of climb the ranks, get the experience. And so they need to somehow encourage people to go into it, show that it's not boring or whatever. It's something that can be quite an interesting career with lots of prospects.
You can find these articles and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine or online at computerweekly.com.